Soviet support for struggle against racialism is the theme of the morning news. Leonid Brezhnev, General Secretary of the Communist Party, the Soviet Union, Central Committee, and President of the Presidium of the USSR, Supreme Soviet, sent this message of greetings to the World Conference Against Racialism and Racial Discrimination that met in Geneva. On behalf of the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet, the Soviet people and myself, greetings to the Conference of the World, Conference Against Racialism and Racial Discrimination. The tasks before your conference are close and understandable to the Soviet people. Exactly 1 week after the birth of the Soviet state, the historic declaration of the rights of the peoples of Russia laid down as the fundamental principles of the nationalist policy of the Soviet system and the sovereignty of the peoples of Russia. The abolition of racial national or national religious privileges and restrictions and the free development of all the national minorities. In the Soviet Union, the nationalities problem has been fully solved, equally of citizens before the law. Regardless of their nationality or race, has not only been proclaimed and laid down in the Constitution, but is affirmed and guaranteed every day by the entire way of life of socialist society and the socialist political and economic system in the vanguard of liberation of the world force, USSR. The policy of the Soviet state on the nationality question is unswerving and consistent. Among the basic principles of the Soviet Union's foreign policy, along with the principles of equality and the rights of the people to decide their own destinies, the new Soviet Constitution adopted in 1977 stipulated support for the struggle of the peoples for national liberation and social progress the world over. The Soviet people resolutely support the forces carrying on the struggle for the equality of the peoples against racial and national discrimination of all peoples and against the remaining vestiges of colonialism and racialism. It comes out consistently for the removal of the racial regime in Rhodesia and for the transfer of all power to the people of Zimbabwe, for the complete withdrawal of the repugnant Union of South Africa from Namibia, and for the elimination of the system of apartheid in the so-called Union of South Africa. Your conference is taking place at a time of struggle for the deepening and expansion of international détente, or peace, and for the complete and final eradication, elimination of colonialism and racialism. Especially intolerable, therefore, is the continued existence of the racialist regimes in Southern Africa, which are committing crimes against humanity, said the great Leonid Brezhnev, General Secretary of the Communist Party Soviet Union. Thus, especially intolerable, therefore, is this continued existence of the racialist regimes, again I respond, in Southern Africa, which are committing crimes against humanity. Mounting tensions on the African continent, brought about by the interventionist actions of a number of NATO states that are the likes of the U.S. imperialist, are causing legitimate concern among peace-loving nations. The interest of strengthening peace requires an immediate end to imperialist interference in the affairs of the newly independent states and respect for their sovereign right to free and independent development. Leonid Brezhnev, President of the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet, said, "I wish the participants in the conference every success in their just struggle against colonialism and for freedom and independence and against racialism and apartheid and racial and national discrimination." From the only medium that we have at the moment to broadcast, Voice of America, according to its version, until the Syrians of the Arab deterrent force withdrawals from Lebanon, President Carter made an urgent appeal Saturday to all parties involved to negotiate a permanent end to fighting in Lebanon. It is very surprising that Mr. Carter does not speak about some withdrawal of the Israelis in southern Lebanon. He said the cycle of a confrontation has gone on too long and at a heavy cost in innocent lives. United States Secretary of State Cyrus Vance and Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko have concluded a weekend round of strategic arms limitation talks in Washington without agreement on many issues. According to the Voice of America, Secretary Vance called the talks intensive and useful and said they would continue in the second half of October when Secretary Vance goes to Moscow, as we would say in English. Foreign Secretary Gromyko leaves for Moscow later today. He almost used the same words, saying that the talks were useful and helpful to describe the session. The two men met on Sunday for about 2.5 hours after a long session on Saturday, which was attended by Carter. The White House meeting followed 2 days of talks last week in New York between Secretary Vance and Foreign Minister Gromyko of the USSR, the vanguard of liberation. Some issues reportedly remaining in the search for a new SALT agreement are the introduction of new missile systems and modernization of existing systems, according to Voice of America's perspective. Mainland China marked the 29th anniversary of its so-called communist government Sunday with expressions of confidence, according to Voice of America, in its future. Party Chairman Wei set the tone on a Saturday night banquet speech in which he said China can become modern and powerful by the end of the century. He called on the Chinese people to emancipate their minds, strive boldly, and to use the experience of advanced nations to become a modern nation. The Chinese Party newspaper, The People's Daily, says the question now is whether China can become a modern power before the end of the century. It says that the confusion caused by the Gang of Four, as they describe them, radical party leaders now in disgrace, has been put to rest. The journal Red Flag warned that war between the superpowers remains inevitable and absolute, although the editorial said it can be postponed, whatever that is supposed to mean. The Chinese are absolutely adamant in this policy of the inevitability and absoluteness of nuclear holocaust. President Carter issued a statement on Saturday that the push for full employment bill will be one of his administration's highest legislative priorities, according to Voice of America. Later, Carter told the Congressional Black Caucus that the latest unemployment figures can be seen as only 5% reduction in the jobless rate since his administration took office in January 1977. The president told a gathering of black congressmen, business, and civic leaders in Washington that he looks forward to the day when the pending Humphrey Hawkins full employment bill will guarantee jobs for all unemployed Americans who are willing and able to work. There will be more details later, supposedly in the program. More shops in the central and south of Iran stayed closed on Sunday in response to a general strike call to protest the measures neighboring Iraq reportedly has taken against an exiled Iranian Muslim leader. Speaking to several thousand participants in the 5th Annual Congressional Caucus Legislative Weekend in Washington, Carter said that he was determined to see the Humphrey Hawkins full employment bill passed by Congress this year. The bill, already passed by the House of Representatives, must win Senate approval before the October 14 adjournment date if it is to become law this year. Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd also supports the bill, and he views its prospects as fairly good. He set a national goal of reducing unemployment, by 80% within 5 years. This is great expectations for the capitalist system in constant decline. The national unemployment rate has been hovering around 8%. At the rate among blacks is much higher, of course, and some black leaders have been very critical of Carter for not giving the measure enough white support.
said Voice of America. On Saturday, he said the bill is designed to help all Americans, not just blacks and other minorities, and he said he continues to regard passage of the measure as one of the highest legislative priorities of his administration. Here, a member of the Black Caucus states he is determined to see that the Humphrey Hawkins bill, full employment bill, is passed this year. Apparently, Congressman Diggs, who is facing frame-up felony charges, 37 counts and 175 years in the federal prison. Mr. Carter praised various black members of the administration, but when the loudest and most enthusiastic applause that he singled out U.S. Ambassador Andrew Young for special praise, "I don't know anyone who has done country so young." And he added, "As long as I am president, Mr. Young is willing, if Mr. Young is willing, he will be the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations." Before Ambassador Young went to the UN, the United States was despised and condemned by the small and the weak nations of the world. But now, he added, we have new friends all over the world, especially in Africa. Go on to say that Andrew Young has apologized for every courageous statement that he had made from the depth of his own conscience out of fear of whatever frame-up may be designed for him. I've already been prepared for him. Moscow, where we can get reasonably truth only. The General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party, President Brezhnev, has congratulated the people of Guinea on the 20th anniversary of the Guinean Republic. The date was observed on Monday. The message addressed to the President proclaimed Guinean achievements and consolidating for its political and economic independence and conducting progress in reforms. The message pointed out the Soviet Union and Guinea championed the cause of universal peace and the liberation of Africa from the colonialism and racism as has been practiced by the colonialists that we see all too apparent in USA imperialism and her lackeys. The General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Central Committee and President of the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet. Of congratulations on vacation to the Prime Minister of Guinea. The Soviet Prime Minister, the Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko, and the American Secretary of State Cyrus Vance have been having talks in Washington on the problem of strategic arms limitation. More discussion on this subject began last Thursday. Yesterday, the Soviet Prime Minister had a meeting with President Carter, which was designed to express their mutual desire to complete preparations leading to an agreement on limiting strategic arms. They also discussed the problem of arms and armed forces reductions in Central Europe and nuclear missile systems and nuclear test control. An official announcement in Moscow says the president of Syria will arrive in the Soviet Union on an official visit of friendship earlier this month. He is now on a visit to the German Democratic Republic, East Germany, the only free part of Germany, communist Germany. Syria is a member of the Arab Front of Special Complementation, which comes out against the separate deal concluded at Camp David Summit, the illegal operation of Camp David Summit. The members of the front denounced the Camp David agreement as invalid and illegal, which it is. They provide for continued Israeli occupation of Arab territories and ignores the rights of the Palestinian people for self-determination. At the recent meetings in Damascus, the members of the front said they are determined to strengthen the relations of friendship for the countries of the peace-loving community led by the Soviet Union. African delegates on the Security Council have demanded extension against the African Republic because it continues to ignore the Security Council decisions of Namibia's right of independence for December this year. The South African regime decided to hold elections in Namibia in December, which remain under South African occupation. These elections are to be supervised by South African fascist troops and not under the auspices of the United Nations. That is why the vote was against this provision by Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union in the Security Council. As was decided by the Security Council, that was the way it was to be, but South Africa is ignoring it, as the Soviet Union wisely knew it would. The Security Council has condemned the South African decision as invalid and illegal. It has again called for the South African troops' withdrawal from Namibia and for a conference for all the people of the territory and involvement of all the people in a complete and open free election. A regular boycott of the racist South African regime would help ensure the limitations of the United Nations decision that is being withheld by unions of South Africa on Namibia, and Union of South Africa's hold on Namibia is being maintained, of course, only by the multinationals of U.S. Garrison State and the tax aid that we all should feel so guilty for, $447 million in the first part of this year alone to support that fascist, racist regime of the Union of South Africa. A new constitution has been published in Salisbury, Rhodesia, in which the racists have been given further advantage. The African population of Rhodesia are being denied equality. It reserves all the remaining privileges of the white minority. The white minority retains the main evils of economic and political power, and the so-called constitution is to put the legal seal on the so-called Rhodesian constitution concluded by Smith with African collaborators like Muzorewa and others of the Uncle Tom variety, heads of the religious churches, particularly the religions of Rhodesia, which is rightfully called Zimbabwe, under the leadership of Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, and his ally Joshua Nkomo, nationalist. In Panama, delegates to the International Conference on Solidarity with the Struggle of the People of the Nicaraguan Government and Peoples Against the Somoza Fascist Regime has suggested public tribunals to investigate the dictator's crimes. Yet Washington remains silent while aid continues to pour in from the USA, while Somoza, to maintain his own power, has practically destroyed his own population. Somoza's trained and equipped National Guard by the USA have killed now at least 20,000 civilians while suppressing the popular uprising of the establishment of a democratic regime. Speakers at the Panamanian conference have called for breaking off diplomatic relations with the dictatorial regime upheld by U.S. monopoly capitalism since 1933. When Nicaragua was illegally invaded by the U.S. Marines. The Soviet delegation has asked the Soviets to be sympathetic for the struggle of the Nicaraguan people for democracy here in Moscow. The newspaper Pravda says Washington's support for the dictator confirms the hypocrisy and falseness of its policy on human rights. Indeed, it has so in every instance. The Soviet Union has not violated in any instance human rights. They that have been convicted of late were convicted against crimes of treason against the people of the Soviet Union. An international conference continues in support of the liberation movements in Southern Africa and against apartheid concentration camp life that exists because of U.S. multinational financing and support of the U.S. tax dollars. Expressions with solidarity with the people of the Union of South Africa in their struggle against the government, the regime, and for South African liberation. One of the leaders of the Communist Party of India strongly criticized the Chinese leaders for betraying the movement for national liberation, and the representative pointed out that the real gain for the continuation racial apartheid in Southern Africa rests with the United States, West Germany, Great Britain, and all of the so-called Western countries. We're grateful for this Communist Party leadership of India speaking resolutely and truthfully about the fact of China's betrayal. The leaders of the Soviet Parliament and the Soviet government have congratulated the Chinese people on the 29th anniversary of the proclamation of the People's Republic of China. The date has was observed today. The message sent to Peking says that Soviet Union favors improving relations with China and the principles of peaceful coexistence and good neighborliness. The message was forwarded to the Committee of the National People's Republic and the Council of the People's Republic of China, this showing the graciousness and magnitude of the great vanguard USSR. In the Mongolian capital, the Executive Council for Mutual Economic Assistance was attended by a delegate corporal of the German Democratic Republic, large delegation from them, and also the Cuban Republic, Mongolia, Poland, Romania, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia. They discussed the comprehensive program of economic integration and ways of expanding the aid to other fraternal socialist nations, with Mongolia taking the lead in this conclave. A religious service for Pope John Paul, who died on Friday from a heart attack, was held in Rome today. Expressions of condolences over the untimely death of the Pope in his middle 60s has come from around the world. Many have said that Pope John Paul had his activity and predecessors in the work for peace and disarmament and for Christian unity, and his where expressions of bereavement were sent by Soviet President Brezhnev as he expressed his condolences. The Soviet cosmonauts had a day of rest today. They talked to their relatives, listened to music, and watched film. They also talked to a specialist. They have been in flight for 108 days, the longest space venture in history. The Soviet Union has spent close to 18 billion rubles on public needs, social services, since the beginning of the year. This is a record spending in a short period of time. The rubles has been spent on health care, education, and education at every level of society. It is amazing that the Soviet Union continues to expand 18 billion rubles on the needs of humanity in medical and educational areas, whereas in the United States of America, we see the contrary taking place, as represented in Proposition 13 in California, which has cut all existing welfare services practically to zero. Now, Jarvis Gahn and Mayor Rizzo has formed a neo-fascist kind of movement that's sweeping a proposal for Proposition 13 federal variety that will cut back welfare services in every state of the so-called Union of USA. Rights of the Micronesian people are denied by the United States. In closing, we would like to speak something of this. Under the United Nations Charter, the 1947 Agreement on Trusteeship between the Security Council and the USA, and also the Dedication Declaration on the Granting of Independence to Colonial Countries and Peoples, the United States should facilitate, that means speed up, the political, economic, and social development of Micronesia, MICRONESIA, and the implementation, that means helping, by its people, of the right to self-determination and independence. The period of more than 30 years in which the United States has acted in administering power in the Pacific Islands has clearly shown, however, that the American side, ignoring the legitimate rights, interests, and will of the people of Micronesia, has been pursuing a policy aimed at perpetuating, carrying on its rule over the territory and turning it into nothing more than a colonial adjunct of the USA imperialist. As a result of the policy of the population of the Trust Territory of Micronesia has been deprived of the opportunity to exercise its inalienable right to self-determination and independence, a right accorded and recorded in the United Nations Charter. As Micronesians themselves declare, their economic and social position, far from improving, has in many respects grown worse since the USA assumed the duties of administering power. Following the divide and rule principle, the United States is grossly violating Micronesia's unity and territorial integrity, and has followed a policy aimed at dividing Micronesia and annexing it piecemeal to USA. The component has caused irreparable damage to the health of the indigenous Micronesian population, as well as to the natural environment of a vast region of the Pacific Ocean. The U.S. press more than once had to admit that the disastrous consequences of nuclear tests in the Pacific Islands, as they've recently had to remove a whole population even 30 years after their testing. All the shows, all this declares that the United States has flagrantly violated the elementary rights and liberties of the Micronesian peoples is becoming quite clear now. In pursuing an expansionist policy in relation to Micronesia, the United States imperialist is seeking to preserve and strengthen its military strategic position in that part of the world. Such a policy represents a serious threat to the security of the peoples, not only in Micronesia, but also in the countries of Asia and Oceania adjacent to the region, says Radio Moscow. The question of Micronesia's destiny is an integral part of the problem of decolonization and of securing for the colonial countries and peoples the right to self-determination and independence. This question cannot and must not be solved by the United States arbitrarily, unilaterally, and in circumvention of the United Nations and its Security Council. Under the United Nations Charter, any change of status of a strategic trust territory must be effected only by the decisions of the United Nations Security Council. Unilateral actions by the USA imperialist with regard to Micronesia cannot therefore be recognized as legally valid. Acting in accordance with the United Nations Charter, the interests of strengthening international peace and security, as well as the declaration on the granting of independence to colonial countries and peoples, the United Nations and its competent bodies must take all necessary steps to ensure that the people of Micronesia freely exercise their legitimate rights to real freedom and independence up to and including the establishment of an independent state. This is the attitude conveyed from the Soviet Union by the Soviet mission of the United Nations recently issued this following statement that I just gave, which has been published in an official document of the UN General Assembly and Security Council on illegal actions by the USA imperialists with regard to the trust territory, the US trust territory, so-called, of the Pacific Islands, Micronesia. Thus ends the giving of the news, interpretation, and commentary. Much love, comrades. Do not switch you to Varish. Attention, attention. Remember the urgent thing in reference to our offer to the Soviet Union is that we must produce this project to the maximum. The Soviet delegation is coming to study it as a model. We are desired in the Soviet Union because we are practicing communism. They wish to see this model of communism perfected in other areas of the Soviet Union, which is already practicing collectivism without the monetary system. This is their desire, the ultimate of communism. They also are desirous of having black people in the Soviet Union because they are tired of the ridiculous charges against them. There's no large number of blacks in the Soviet Union. How could there be large numbers of black people in the Soviet Union when they never took slaves? They never engaged in colonialism in that respect and never took slaves from Africa. So naturally, black people's homeland, our homeland was Africa. So they're very warm to the idea of our immigration. But one thing is that necessary that we must produce to the maximum, even absolutely work to produce this to the fullest, to overcome every little point
We got a few points of advice from a doctor about choline, antiseptics. We should never allow our dishes for one moment to be washed in water that was not boiled at the maximum temperature. The bathroom in the residential section has an odor that must be, we must do something to correct this. I mean, building a new bathroom soon, something has to be done about a number of issues. Productivity. Number of suggestions are coming in my suggestion box that are not going through the chain of command. You do not come to me for job changes. There are channels to the administration. The hierarchy, you can look upon the walls of our own community and see how one goes through procedural change. Where you can go through the community organizational board, you must, because those are the representatives of the people. Tonight there will be necessity for a people's rally, which would